Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Vantagapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 13 Text 43 I'm glad for this opportunity to read with you and discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita because it's forcing me to prepare for a course that I'm supposed to teach in a few months in Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh. We're going to be doing a two-week intensive course on the Chaitanya Charitamrita for the third-year students there. The students who will be receiving a bachelor's degree in Vaishnava theology from the University of Wales at the end of this year. We have 9 students in the third year, about 20 or 25 students altogether. All right, here we go. This chapter is the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Vyoge or Vijoge Krishna Vijoge Jata Prema Cheshtita Krishna Vijoge Jata Prema Cheshtita Ashadiya Purna Koila Appana Vanchita Ashadiya purna koila appana vanchita Krishna ravi jogge jatta prema cheshtita Ashadiya purna koila appana vanchita Ashadhyaya Purna Kaila Appanavanchita. All right, what does all that mean? Synonyms. Krishnera of Lord Krishna. Viyoge, in separation. Jata, as many. Prema, loving affairs. Cheshtita, activities. Ashadiya, tasting them. Purna, fulfilled. Kaila, made. Apana, own. Vanchita, desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, in separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. Purport. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Lord Chaitanya appeared to taste the feelings of Radharani felt upon seeing Krishna. Krishna himself could not understand the ecstatic feelings of Radharani toward him. And therefore, he desired to accept the role of Radharani and thereby taste these feelings. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the feelings of Radharani. In other words, he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. It is therefore said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna He Anno. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, one can relish the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna together. One should therefore try to understand Radha Krishna not directly, but through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through his devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Rupa Raghunatha Pare Hoive Akuti Kobe Hama Bhujavo Se Yugala Piriti. When shall I develop a mentality of service towards Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and thus become eligible to understand the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna? Krishnera viyoge jatta prema cheshtita ashadiya purna koila appanavanchita. In separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. Well, the chapter being called The Advent of Lord Chaitanya, the main feature of this chapter being the story of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. We also get some summarizing in this chapter of what Lord Chaitanya is about. I was thinking, if I had to give a title to my reflections on this verse, I would somewhat daringly call it, What Does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Do for a Living? I'll get back to that eventually, but I want to lead up to it by some reflection on this chapter having come. This is the 13th chapter of the Adi Lila. Can't remember exactly how many chapters the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita has. I believe it's something around 50 or so chapters. It's taking us, in a sense, all this time to get to, you know, the story of Lord Chaitanya's taking birth. So that's kind of interesting. What's been going on up till now? To some extent, we could make a comparison to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, the entire first canto, 19 chapters of the first canto, are really an introduction, leading us into what really gets going. The Bhagavatam gets going in the first part of the second canto. And in a sense, that's the first canto is an introduction. It's setting the stage, setting the scene for all that's going to take place. The description, the recitation by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Something like that is going on, although in a different way, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was trying to think of how to characterize what's happening in these first 12 chapters of the Adi Leela. I would suggest that really we're getting again a setting of the stage, but it's not, it's a different sort of setting. Does anyone want to anticipate what I might say about this? What sort of a stage setting is going on in these first 12 chapters? Any guesses? Okay. Saturday morning. Yes.
Well, a lot of it's to do with establishing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mm-hmm. with the different incarnations that have appeared with him and their...
Yes, that is going on. What would you, how would you put that into abstract terms?
Character description.
Character description. Oh, okay. That's all. That's going on, certainly. I was thinking of just saying who's he? Krishnadas Kaviraj is setting the stage theologically. He's giving a theology of who is Lord Chaitanya by saying, yes, he is descending, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as Srila Prabhupada is indicating in the purport, he's being a lot more specific about who is this Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna, but then again, he's taking on a mood of being not Krishna. In a way, because he's taken on the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. Well, so he goes into an extensive theology, but how would we characterize that theology? You mentioned establishing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there some other way we might characterize this theology? Yes.
Mad bhakti sadhvir vina. Supreme Personality of God is Sri Krishna is declaring that all I am complete in all opulences. Hmm. All opulences means there's six opulences. Uh-huh. But as I am the only rasograhi. Uh-huh. As me I am nothing but rasa-grahi. Enjoying. Okay. The rasa, huh. All 12 rasa, incomplete.
Oh.
But in order to enjoy that rasa, in the previous chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what I see, by Prabhupada's blessing, that rasa is the measurement. And Advaita Acharya is also Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he is proving, in this chapter, also previous chapter, that to be equal to God is not the enjoyment. But to serve and enjoy that rasa is the enjoyment.
Very good.
So Mahaprabhu came to drown everybody, all his expansion and planetary expansion and all the living entity to same thing to
drowning program. That verse that you quoted, is that Whereabouts is that? Is that from within?
It's in ninth canto also, but it is also in Chaitanya Chaitamrita.
Do you remember? Is that?
Yes. Nayam Atmanam Asya. Oh.
No, I mean, is it within these 12 chapters? Is it in Adi Lila or is it later? Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Not important. Okay, well, that's, yeah, very nice. So, drowning program, you can say. Theology of drowning. Drowning in ecstasy, of course. I was thinking, kind of stepping, maybe a step before that, you're going right to the depth, but maybe just, you know, stepping in. I wanted to say, this is it's a theology of divine descent, because we understand Lord Chaitanya decides, I want to appear. And we understand from the Bhagavad Gita there are certain purposes that Krishna generally has for his descent, right? Yada, yada, hi dharmasya glani. And so on. But we understand that he here has a special purpose. So without going into what the purpose is, simply to say it's theology of descent with a special purpose is... And okay, we get a sense of what that special purpose is, but then the rest of the Chaitanya Charitamrita throws us in the deep end, you can say, and you know, we get to experience something of what is that purpose and to participate in that purpose. Okay, well, then we get into this chapter, this 13th chapter, and we find not only that we're getting a description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, which interestingly enough suddenly shifts into, and Pran Govinda ji, you can help me, what is the term for, first of all, this type of verse that we just chanted? I know there's a name for this type of verse. It's not like Sanskrit, Anushtup, Trishtup, and so on. This is Bengali. So is there a name for this? Krishna Ravi Yoge Jatta Prema Cheshtita, that rhythm. There's a term for that, I believe. Oh, Krishna Sarup. Do you know the name of that type of verse? He's busy. We have a question for you. What is the name of this type of verse? But he's from Nepal. I don't know. Krishna Ravi Yoge Jata Prema Cheshtita. That type of verse, what is it called? There's a name for it. Okay, that's a research project. Okay, but I'm trying to point out that later in this chapter, we get this different type of verse. Brahmana sajjana nari nana dravye thali bari aila shave jautukalaya jena kancha shona jutti dakki balakera murti ashivada kore shukka panya. It's the same as our Guru Puja song. That, again, it has another name. I was sure you would know this. Okay. Some research project for you. So this comes up, this comes in this chapter, this that type of verse, it's a very lyrical type of verse to describe Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Suddenly he shifts into this very lyrical mode. In any case, what I found interesting is that Krishnadas Kaviraj also speaks of Mahaprabhu's life in terms of periods, you know, Poganda, you know, as if speaking of Krishna's, the sections of Krishna's life. And he divides them up into numbers of years, and the numbers of years turn out to be quite, what's the word I want? They're quite equal. You get 24 years in Grihastha ashram, and then 24 years in the Sannyasa ashram. And then you get 6 years of that sannyas ashram. He's traveling in South India, and then 18 years. It's symmetric. Yeah, there's a symmetry there. But at the same time, there's a bit of an asymmetry, because somewhere, I believe it's in this chapter, Krishnadas says, the second half, his pastimes after his grihastha ashram, his sannyas ashram time, are more important. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Why is he saying that? And then I couldn't help but wonder, because he's also in this chapter speaking, he's glorifying Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he's saying, you know, actually the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have already been described so wonderfully by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So what am I doing? Well, he says basically, I'm just filling in the gaps. There were a few things that he did not elaborate on, so I'm going to do that. Simply helping out as a servant. He takes the very humble position as assisting, really, Vrindavan Das Thakur and filling in some gaps. But then he says, more important pastimes, the ones which were not so much described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the more important pastimes are his pastimes after leaving Navadvipa. Why does he say that? Well, we can perhaps reflect on that. But one reason, and there can be multiple reasons, we can say, well, that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes as sannyasi, where he does this relishing, where he dives into this ocean of rasa ever more extensively than he does prior to that. Another reason could be, and this is the historian in me, forgive me for this pure speculation, but there was this distance that had developed between the devotees in Bengal and the devotees in Vrindavan. And Krishnadas Kaviraj is living in Vrindavan, and he's living there most of his life. And there is a sense of mission that the devotees in Vrindavan have to establish what is Krishna consciousness as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a sense of mission to write this out in all of the literature of the Goswamis, and to send it to Bengal. And why send it to Bengal? So that the Bengali devotees will understand what is the deep theology of Krishna consciousness as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's possible that Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying, you know, you Navadvip Vasis are thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole pastimes are those when he was living with amongst you in Navadvip. Well, that's all very wonderful, but there's something more going on. And then he takes even a step further and says, these are more important pastimes. When he goes to Jagannath, when he travels, when he comes back, when he goes to Vrindavan, he goes to Jagannath Puri, spends 18 years there. And what does he do there? Krishna ravi yoge jata prema cheshtita ashadiya purna koila apana vanchita. In separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic pastimes, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. That's what he is doing. That's his occupation. That's what Lord Chaitanya does for a living. Now, we usually think of you do something for a living means you do something to maintain your, you know, to pay the bills. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have to worry about paying the bills because, why? Because King Prataparudra was so much happy to have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. Vasudeva Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so happy to have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. The head priest, well, you can say Sarvabhauma, but also the main manager of the Puri temple, what is his name? What do I want to say? Not Kashi Mishra. Name slipping my mind. The one who was told, now you make all the arrangements for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he's going to live here. You make all arrangements. That was Kashishvara, I believe. Kashi Mishra, okay. Okay. All right, so Kashi Mishra. Sorry? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, living expenses, everything on that level, it's all taken care of, no problem. So we can say, what is he doing for a living? He's feeling separation from Krishna, and he is relishing. That is giving him life. That is giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu life, to think of Krishna. But how to think of Krishna? That we hear about in the previous verse. Vidyapati Jayadeva Chandida Sergita Ashadena Ramananda Sharupa Sahita. The Lord used to read the books of Vidyapati Jayadeva and Chandidas, relishing their songs with his confidential associates like who? Like Sarab Damodar and Sri Ramananda Roy. Okay, here it just mentions Sarab Damodar Goswami and Sri Ramananda Roy. So he's this is what he's doing for a living. He's sustaining himself. He would give up this life. He's feeling so much separation from Lord Krishna that he would just give up this life. So many times devotees were worried that that's what he's doing, because he's jumping into the Yamuna, he's jumping into the ocean, he's, you know, doing all these things that we don't know if he's going to survive. We have to, you know, make sure he's okay. All of that's, you know, expressing this intense separation from Krishna. But wait a minute. What is this about separation from Krishna? He is Krishna. Right? He's Krishna. What is this? What is this nonsense? Why doesn't somebody just remind him that he's Krishna? Well, they tried to do that. I mean, throughout the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's part of the, you know, the fun, if you like, of reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the devotees are saying, you know, you are Krishna. And what does Lord Chaitanya do in response when he hears that? He covers his ears. Well, yeah, he won't take it. He won't accept that. So, yes, he's Krishna. That's our understanding. The first 12 chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get that drilled into us, in effect, that he is Krishna. And, you know, as Prabhupada is saying about reading the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam before you get to the 10th canto, understand who is this Krishna thoroughly before you go into the 10th canto to read Krishna's pastimes. So similarly, we understand, okay, ontologically, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is Krishna. But the last thing on his mind is that he is Krishna. He is feeling separation from Krishna. Separation from Krishna in such a way that he is relishing it. Asvadiya, in Bengali, ashadiya, right? Ashadiya, asvadiya. Asvadana can mean tasting. It can also just mean eating. It can mean relishing. It can mean all these sorts of things that we associate with our tongue. Well, what is that about? Again, something perhaps a bit odd. We just heard that what he's doing is he's hearing or reading a poetry. And then we're hearing that he's tasting poetry. What do you mean, tasting poetry? Well, relishing. Now, we don't have a problem in English and in most languages with this sort of metaphorical crossover between the aesthetic taste and the physical taste. You get that in, I don't know if you get it in all languages, but most the languages I'm familiar with, you certainly do, that, you know, someone has good taste in clothing or furniture, how, you know, home decoration. Oh, this person has good taste. This person has bad taste. We make this connection, this metaphorical crossover without thinking, almost to the point that we don't think it's a metaphor anymore. And you get, in fact, the idea of dead metaphors, where something is no longer considered a metaphor because it's so part of the language. But it's sometimes nice to recover a metaphor or, you know, remember, aha, this is actually about tasting, and then we're extending that. But there's something else that's happening here, I would suggest, and that is, let's see how many of you know this word, synesthesia. Huh? What does synesthesia mean? Something like fantasia? No. You know what synesthesia means, Pushkar Prabhu? Give it a guess. Yeah, you're on the track. It's a kind of synthesis of the senses. Sense synthesis. It has nothing to do with sin. Well, it might. But in our context, certainly not. It's quite the opposite of that. So synesthesia is a kind of synthesis of the activities of the senses such that you can taste with your ears. You can, you can hear with your eyes and so on. That is a psychological effect which has been observed that people have. Shrutaksha, yeah, exactly. So that's synesthesia. Now, where do we get a description of synesthesia to the max? Anybody want to? Okay, I won't. In the spiritual world. Okay. I'm thinking of a specific verse, and it's one that, do we sing it with the Govinda prayers in the morning? Yes, there we go. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. What is this being said there? Angani, the limbs, literally, yasya sakala indriya vrittimanti. They are all of the indriyas are functioning, vritti, are full of function, vritti mant. So, in effect, all of the senses, all of the limbs of the body are totally multi-sensitized. How's that? But who is this whose senses are multi-sensitized? Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I'm worshipping Govinda, whose senses are multi-sensitized, who is the synesthetic artist of all artists, or something like that. He's the prime synesthetic. Ooh. Well, okay, so that's Krishna in the spiritual world. Not only in the spiritual world, it's Krishna when he comes to this world. But how does he come to this world to do that synesthetic activity? He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But how does it get expressed? It gets expressed simply as tasting, as relishing. And what is he relishing? He's relishing poetry. Well, that's interesting. He's relishing poetry. Now, I'm just wondering, will that day ever come in my lifetime that I would be able to relish in any comparable, but in some way, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us to relish? What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu trying to do when he comes to this world along with relishing and enjoying? What is he trying to do? He's trying to teach. He's a teacher. He wants us. And how is he teaching? Well, one way is by example. Another way is by his teachings to his followers. But yes, by his example. So how do we follow this example? Well, one way we do it is that we relish remembering how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing hearing this poetry. How he's relishing chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes we're chanting Hare Krishna and we might not be relishing it all that much as we would like to. Do you ever have that experience? I have it all the time. True confession. But we can remember that, oh, but there is the relisher, the person, the Supreme Personality of relishing Godhead. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I remember just a few days ago we were watching this wonderful video of these old videos of Srila Prabhupada now with these, added on explanations by the different devotees who were there that Yadubar Prabhu has done. You've seen some of that? Yes. Oh, okay.
The next three Sundays in a row will be shown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's highly relishable. And within that, you see, I believe it's not the first Rath Yatra in San Francisco, but the second one. And the preparation from that, you see, Jayananda Prabhu preparing the Rath cart and so on. If I'm not mistaken, it was the first Rath Yatra, and you can read about this in Satsarup Maharaj's book, that the devotees noted, one of the devotees noted that Srila Prabhupada was remembering, so to say, Chaitanya Charitamrita, while the devotees were sort of, while the Rath Yatra was going on, or maybe it was afterward, the devotees were thinking it was a lot of fun, it was a party, you know, and it was great going with this, procession, and they were thinking it was all great fun. And then Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this is happening in Puri and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing and relishing his leela of separation with Lord Jagannath. So then the devotee thought, oh wow, gosh, you know, Prabhupada's on a whole different level of enjoying this than we are. So it kind of struck the devotee, and I don't remember whether it's Satsarup Maharaj who remembers this or who it was, but they're kind of struck by that. Oh, he's remembering Chaitanya. We're just sort of having a party, and he's remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, yeah. It would have been someone else. Yes, Prabhu.
Because there was a threat by some hippie groups. So he got out of the car, made his appearance and dandavas, and then left. So it was another time.
Okay, it may have been another Rath Yatra. Yes, thank you. So, yes, teaching, but how to learn from that teaching by the example? How do we learn from that example? By remembering that example, by recollecting that example, by remembering Haridas Thakur sitting and chanting, 3 lakhs of Hare Krishna mantra every day. In that way, we are learning, we are following. I saw, in my class, I mentioned this last time, I've been teaching about Buddhism in my class at UF, and we found a film on Zen Buddhism. The film is 2 hours long. And you may think, well, how can you show 2 hours of people just sitting there meditating? Well, it shows more than that. It shows some more of their activity. But in fact, the film features a 7-day marathon that they do of sitting zazen, sitting meditation that they do once a year, during which time they eat, but they don't sleep for 7 days. Well, yes, they get to sleep, but they can't lie down. They have to sit the whole time. Well, they do. Some of them nod down a bit. But some of them are, you know, quite... And they actually show them, you know, during the night while they're, you know, having their period of sitting, resting. But my point is that they do this incredibly intensive practice. Another film that I showed my students a part of is called... what is it called? Kung Fu Monks in America. And I showed part of it because it shows how these preacher, Buddhist preacher monks come from China to America from the Shaolin Temple, which has become a huge success. They have thousands of people coming there now to learn Kung Fu. And, you know, you watch these incredible acrobatics of these Kung Fu monks. And then there's some narration. And these guys are practicing 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, you know. I mean, this is serious stuff. So, yeah, how do we practice Krishna consciousness with some intensity, you know, to become such that we can really relish in some way as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That I think we want to reflect on. All right, I'll stop there unless there's a question or comment. Yes?
We have such a phobia around showing emotions that it's sahajiya. We had one situation, I'm not going to mention a name, where a devotee was really experiencing very deeply the chanting of the holy name. He wasn't making a big show, but there were some tears. And so he was asked not to lead kirtan for a while. So I think this would be worth discussing a little bit, because especially in this country, we tend to really be reserved when it comes to anything emotional and become very suspicious if somebody's displaying anything emotional. And yet, beyond any scripture in the world, our scripture is filled with, you know, these words like relishing and tasting and emotions and fainting and people falling on the ground and haribol. You know, so it seems, how do we, you know, after 20 years, people began to go other places because they were feeling very dry and there were other sources that were encouraging people more in that direction. So maybe that's something we might want to say something about.
Ah, that may be that's a big topic. I agree that we can go too far the other way of being suspicious of emotion, when after all we understand that the evocation of emotion is what we're about. I mean, that's what bhakti is. We're not jnanis, we're not yogis, we're not any of that. So then what, you know, what are we doing if we see some emotion and then try to squash it or whatever? I think we're in an awkward situation in a sense, in that yes, that is there, and our movement as a society, as an institution, is we're kind of like teenagers as a society who are, you know, trying to find our way as a tradition. And we want to make sure that the boat is going in the right direction, and that it's not being blown over by every exhibition of emotion that might blow in the door, which might be something other than what we understand is this this wonderfully profound emotion of love of God. And then the danger comes that something that is genuine comes, we squash it. I was just talking to one of my students. He's a, I forgot the term, it's not exactly Pentecostal. He's Christian, and he's a missionary, basically. He wants to become a missionary. Nice guy. But he, the Pentecostals, you may know, are a Christian tradition which really goes for the emotion. And in their gatherings, as I understand, they really cut loose. And they're one of the fastest growing missions, Christian missions in the world. They're becoming popular in South America. In North America, they're already around very extensively. Because people want emotion. They want to feel it. They don't want to just think it. And we say, yes, we want to feel it too. But then somebody feels something, we go, whoa, wait a minute. What was that? You have to be here 30 years first and have all the, you know, and maybe even you have your 30 years here, you know, Krishna Kshetra starts showing tears while he's chanting. Something must be wrong with him. I think he's gone over the deep end. He's been teaching at UF. You know? I don't know. Pushkar, you wanted to comment something on this, didn't you? On Mother Nam, huh? Yeah. No, on Mother Harinam's comment.
No. Well, I have some general over these last few verses. Actually, we read the Chandidas Vidyapati verse a couple times. That I was just musing over the fact that Kaviraj Goswami doesn't quote, I can't recall where he even quotes any of those three fellows. There's a little Jayadev maybe somewhere. I don't know. Did any of those I've ever quoted in Chaitanya Charita. And so, why is that?
Yeah. Looks like.
If this is what Chaitanya Charita was relishing and he doesn't quote it, duh, I don't know what's going on.
Duh, I don't know what's going on. Pran Govinda wants to respond to that, I believe.
What about that famous verse, I heard Prabhupada's voice in MP3, like, Tatala saikata bari vindu samasuta mita ramani samaje. Prabhupada explained very nicely. Also, this Dasavatar is from Gita Govinda. So we do sing Git Govinda.
The introduction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Pushkar Prabhu actually mentioned me a story sometime back that while Prabhupada was leading Kirtan in San Francisco or Berkeley, I forgot, and Gargamuni Prabhu, he felt a little emotional crying because other devotees are crying, so he went out. So Prabhupada later on asked him that, why did you leave? So I started feeling crying. So that's okay, you should. That's what our mission is.
There you go.
So these things took place, but not emphasized more.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking of Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan Thakur's. He gives very thorough of who Jiva, on Jiva Tattva he was explaining. Jiva Tattva, that we are Satchit Ananda. And that original idea of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sotakur and Srila Prabhupada, this thinking, feeling, willing, acting, it is reflects Satchidananda. Thinking is Sat. And that feeling is Ananda.
That's
everybody in this world, whether he's a murderer, rapist, or Hare Krishnas, all are after Ananda.
Are you trying to tell me that I'm already feeling Ananda, I just don't know it yet?
No. Oh. We are seeking for it. We are seeking for it. But the pure form is coming through this Viraha and Sambhogli pastimes.
Okay.
We cannot escape from Ananda. That's what we are.
Ah.
So whether we have a feeling through Krishna consciousness or we'll go somewhere else for something else.
Yeah.
We can't escape from it.
Okay. Jai Gopal.
In regards to Mother Harinam's question, there's I think the main reason why Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were preaching the mental of a preacher, they're also teaching by examples, like you mentioned earlier. So what was going on in Navadvipa in that time were so many sahajas. So the last thing, you know, one wants, and it's common everywhere, you know. So I think the main reason why you hear so many pastimes where Prabhupada's beating, you know, gives a cane to one of his children to beat this guy, is because it went too far to the other side. So they're, you know, looking out for that. But at the same time, within the association of devotees, it, you know, can take place. But I think that's possibly why a lot of preachers are conscious of how they exert their emotions.
Okay. Yes, these are good points. Pushkar.
When Harishari, he talks about that in his book, so I'm not spilling the beans or anything. But he caused a furor throughout the whole Vrindavan because he had heard that Prabhupada said if somebody was rolling on the ground, that was in San Francisco years before, kick him in the head and see if he's really in ecstasy. So he kicked this local bridge posse in the head.
Oh, no.
And it caused a furor throughout the whole Vrindavan. And the man, Prabhupada had to bring the man and personally apologize to himself. So, you know, there's a tendency to go really militant about some stupid, you know, extreme things. I mean, you have to be a little cool-headed, as Prabhupada said.
Yeah. You have to...
If they are rolling on the ground, kick them in their face, and then if they continue to roll in ecstasy, then they are truly feeling ecstasy. Well, he said it more than once. In India. Yeah. I wasn't there when
So, I mean, but one thing you can take from that is that Prabhupada is saying there are tests. One of them is kicking in the head. Now, we might not want to go to that extreme because that could have consequences, could have legal consequences, and so on. But there are tests, and, you know, that's maybe a whole other discussion to recall what sorts of tests there are. But I appreciate Mother Hainan's point is that we don't want to banish emotion from the get-go because that's self-defeating. That's not our philosophy. I think that's kind of your point in a sense, isn't it?
Thank you. We have a public standard. Srila Prabhupada was very careful with the display of emotions, and sometimes they would come out, and they were very sobering and humbling for the devotees to see. But he was very careful to set that example for us. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, we could more and more meet together with one another. We could find smaller forums. I know that there's devotees here who come together to go deeply into Srila Prabhupada's books, and that may be something that we can think about more and more, just to find ways to relish very deeply these
not Gopi Bhava clubs, though.
No, I don't think we should practice being peacocks. I wasn't saying that. I agree with you 1,000%. I really wasn't thinking about going there at all. I'm very careful in that. I wasn't really thinking about that, so that didn't even occur to me. Not in that way, but mostly just cultivating the heart. Cultivating the heart, which we can do in all our relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Vaishnava etiquette, in the temple, and then, you know, opening that opportunity for the cultivation of the heart, even in our interactions with each other, even the way that we think about this philosophy, because we can get very cerebral. We certainly have enough books. You know, we can make so many points that never touch the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so because this is so much about transformation of the heart, then that's really what we're seeking. And this opportunity to associate with the person whose heart is so big that he can encompass the love of unlimited universes and unlimited living entities in unlimited quantities of time, such a personality we're trying to have a relationship with through our chanting of the holy name. So cultivating the heart more like that.
Nice.
Sentimental feelings, and they might cry, but they're different than those that are exhibited by those that are on the highest plane of self-realization.
I guess my question would be, is there room for feeling in between, you know, way up there at, you know, the exalted level and the only sentimental feeling? Is there room for devotional sentiment? Yeah. I was going to sort of end, but I see lots more want to say something. Yes, Ramachandra wanted to say something.
I had a comment. It's kind of a subject changer, but anyways, in the beginning of class, when you were reading the verse, I noticed the word porna specifically, and you know, that means fulfilling. It, in the translation, it was fulfill. Mm. And I remember the verse, Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam, that Krishna is fulfilling the desires of all living entities within the material and spiritual worlds, unlimited living entities. Mm. And yet, what fulfills his desires? The literature is written about himself by pure devotees. I just thought that was interesting.
So. Yeah. The word Purna by itself just means full. So you have the full moon. Purnima means the full moon day, like that. Yes. Yes.
I was just thinking of one word that I thought would kind of like help clarify the whole thing. Is that Sambandhagya is like the whole the Srimad Bhagavatam Sambandhabi Day and Prayojana. So if something's out of place, and as they surrender to me, I award them accordingly. And you can have your shadow attachment that's mentioned in Nectar Devotion, but the Sambandha Jnana, you're actually experiencing your relationship with Krishna in the beginning stages, and if it's still the person is hasn't gone through the Sambandha Jnana, because, I mean, as far as I remember, the Srimad Bhagavatam, one is searching out after the absolute truth has to search that up to this, so in all circumstances. Otherwise, rite artam, you know, it's it could be just a reflection. So I think that was helpful for discriminating.
Yeah, certainly we're all after substance, vastu, not the shadow, the substance. Yes. Yes, Prabhupada, I don't know the name.
You were mentioning about the quotes of Jayadeva Goswami and Chandidas and Vidyapati, and I was remembering the confidential associates, Sarup Damodar. Some of his songs were quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some of the, he would compose poetry for Lord Chaitanya, and a little bit of that was quoted.
Yes.
Or, you know, the confidential pastimes between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, they seem to have the most, bring out the most feelings.
Yeah.
Confidential feelings.
But it is interesting, still, Pushkar Prabhu's point of why not even one quote from, say, Chandidas might be there. That one might ask that question, and I think it's true. Yes, further, I guess we'll, it's Saturday, I guess we can, we don't have
Didn't
to rush out.
Didn't Krishnadas Kaviraj put more of those quotes in that whole mood in Govinda Lilamrita?
Ah, that's a point. Maybe he was saving it for Govinda Lilamrita. Yeah. Okay, still, he's saving it and writing it earlier. Anyway. On that note, we'll end here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Gaur Premanande.